In 2023, while listening to a Mark Batterson sermon, I heard of a phenomenon in science I immediately recognized because I had experienced it in my own life. Mark pastors the National Community Church in Washington, D.C., and he was talking about a theory from a cognitive neuroscientist, David Strayer, called the three-day effect. The theory, which has since been proven by scientific research, is that it takes 3 days in wilderness, out in nature, 3 days in the wild to reset our brains. And after those 3 days, our ability to problem solve goes up, our inductive reasoning goes up, we start thinking outside the box. I know the reality of this firsthand every time I get out in nature for any extended length of time. I hear God more clearly out there on the periphery of Eden, out in His world, in 3 days than I might receive in 3 weeks of normal living. It is like oxygen to the soul. Our oft-times toxic culture is taking a toll on all of us. It's spiritual warfare. And I have discovered dying to all of that is a hard process. Staying dead is a hard process. And when the third day comes, you don't will yourself back to life. Only a resurrection can do that.
Days I was younger growing up with the thunder living inside of me. I ran fast like a river, fell hard like timber, hoping that I would see everything. But I can be the one to hold on, I just need to know for how long. For lightning to strike, I've been waiting for lightning to strike. And I wanna know where to go to find the place where the eyes and the mind meet. Ooh, where the charge in the sky. So hold on, I just need to know. I'm standing here, please don't forget.
I'm waiting for lightning.
My heart's a key tied to a string. Up on a kite, what will it bring?
I'm waiting for lightning
to strike.
I'm not afraid to die.
Well, there you are. And welcome to Redemption's Table. I'm glad you're here. And since the autumn weather is starting to cool the temperatures down a bit, I thought we would take today's table outside. As I mentioned last time, I spent 2 weeks back in September, early October, first in California, which included a family wedding, and then the final 8 days in Yellowstone National Park. This was my first time back in Yellowstone in over 50 years. I had experienced Yellowstone as a pre-adolescent, but not as an adult. And I have many memories from that trip with my mom and my dad made in the early 70s. It was in Yellowstone that I realized for the first time what a national treasure our national parks are. And I've been exploring them ever since. I love to hike. I love to be in the outdoors. I am grateful every time I lace up my hiking boots. But I've also noticed through the years a bit of ambivalence that plays through my mind as I take on whatever challenges I find myself in on the trail. If I'm climbing a mountain, often at some point the inner me asks the part of me laboring to find my climbing rhythm, "And why did you think this was a good idea?" I guess that's to be expected when we find ourselves facing the unknown. We just have to work through the head games going on inside our own mind. If we listen, those inner voices have wisdom to offer. They can expose our weaknesses, they can call our bluff, they can stretch our faith. Because our souls have plateaued a bit and are encased in chrysalis. How did we get there? Probably day by day by day caught in the membranes of routine compounded by screen scrolling. The world we sometimes get caught in is far removed from the world we live in. One of my favorite hymns to sing in worship, "This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres." Our individual worlds are relatively small compared to His. And when we step out into it, that's when we encounter the three-day effect. It takes 3 days in wilderness, out in nature, 3 days in the wild to reset our brains from where our brains have become stuck. And after those 3 days, our ability to problem solve goes up, our inductive reasoning goes up, we start thinking outside the box. When I finally reached Yellowstone National Park last month, I had been gone from home for almost a week. I had a great birthday. I celebrated my niece and her new husband and family in a beautiful wedding, but I arrived in Yellowstone tired. In a lot of ways, still caught up in routine. Whenever you take a break from normal, whether that be a weekend retreat, a vacation, a sabbatical, you're still carrying all the stuff in your mind, all the emotions in your body, your fight, flight, or indifference, your past traumas, your future worries, all the things you're going to have to do once you get back to work, all of that goes with you. All of that distracts you from being where you are. Suddenly, you're not conscious of being on someone else's time clock. You're on yours. You're on God's. And the three-day effect begins. Even if you are disciplined and spend alone time with God every day, and your life is balanced between exercise and family and work and serving others, there will still be a stretch from where you came from to where you are. On day one, I awakened in Yellowstone in the Mammoth Hot Springs area to the bugling of elk. The elk were in rut. It was mating season, and all the bull elks were singing their love songs to attract as many she elks to their harems as possible. When I walked out at dawn to put my suitcase in my rental car, a giant bull was strutting across the parking lot. Now, I would rather be awakened by elk bugling than rooster crowing any day of the week. I began my day doing something in Yellowstone that is very uncharacteristic for me. I went on a 5-hour Yellowstone tour called Wake Up to Wildlife. There were perhaps 15 to 20 of us on this excursion into Lamar Valley, led by an excellent tour guide named Justin. Lamar Valley is sometimes referred to as America's Serengeti, and it was a wonderful way to acclimate myself to the 2.2 million acres of Yellowstone. Over half of my wildlife encounters in Yellowstone took place on this first day. There were elk herds, hundreds of bison, 2 mule deer butting heads, a bull moose ambling up and over a hill along the road, a cinnamon bear down in a wadi sound asleep with his or her head on a log, a red fox prancing down the side of the road, a small herd of antelope, a black bear skirting the edge of the forest, another black bear later that day skirting alongside the Firehole River, and a large red-tinted coyote. Along the way, I had a good conversation about Jesus with Justin. We had a good talk. After lunch, after the tour, I walked the boardwalks alongside Mammoth Hot Springs, and then I drove down to Old Faithful Inn, where I would stay the next 5 nights. It was a wonderfully full first day. Lots of wonder. But there was no 3-day breakthrough on day 1. Day 2, I slept in. This was the first day in almost a week where I had a great night's sleep and I wasn't traveling somewhere. I could finally stay put. I slept with an open window and a 45-degree morning right outside. Around noon, I arrived at the trailhead to hike to Lone Star Geyser. The geyser erupts every 3 hours, but when I began the hike in, I had no idea when the geyser might erupt next. With boots and pack on, I was walking across the small parking area when a kindly blue-eyed old gentleman in a fisherman's hat asked me if I was going to Lone Star Geyser. Before I could answer, an amazing bird darted between us, and I started chasing the bird to discover what it might be. Now, the bird would not be still long enough for me to identify it in that moment. I later discovered it was a Clark's Nutcracker. I returned to the parking lot. The fisherman was already in his truck. I apologized to him, and I told him, yes, I'm headed to Lone Star Geyser. He told me the last eruption was at 11:26 a.m. He told me what to expect, said it had erupted for 17 minutes, and he told me it would erupt again at 2:26 p.m. A couple of times as he talked, he winked with a gleam in his eye in a kindly manner. And as I began my hike, I wondered if I had just met an angel unaware. He did tell me I could find his documentation of the last eruption in the hiker's book at the end of the trail, and sure enough, it was all written down. But he also reminded me so much of my grandfather, Pop Sprouse. Fisherman's hat, sparkling blue eyes and all. I arrived at Lone Star, had 45 minutes to spare. I ate my lunch. There were 8 to 10 hikers gathered, speculating when the next eruption might occur, so I told them what the kindly old fisherman had told me. And I want you to know, Lone Star Geyser erupted precisely at 2:26 p.m., just as he had said. And this time, the eruption lasted for 19 minutes. Yet even as spectacular as the hike, the encounter with the fisherman, the perfectly timed eruption, there was no 3-day breakthrough on day 2. Just like I had been in the parking lot, distracted by the darting of a curious bird, so was my mind. My thoughts were distracted. I was physically in the wild, but mentally, I was wrestling with life. Day 3. It was a Friday. I awakened early. I hiked off into the forest on a trail that led up to Observation Point, and there I watched Old Faithful erupt from the mountainside overlooking the basin. I had breakfast at the hotel that morning, and then I began my day's adventure headed toward the Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone to see the upper and lower falls of the canyon. The lower falls are the best-known waterfall in the park, and it was one that I remembered from my visit half a century before. Now, I had begun to wonder if my mind and spirit would ever settle in. This was my 10th day away from Alabama and my 4th calendar day in Yellowstone after arriving the afternoon before the first full day. I was still trying to catch up in my journal to record all that had happened, and I was still trying to come up with a game plan for my next 5 days in the park. So I was bouncing back and forth, clamoring, grasping, somewhere hiking on the rim of Yellowstone's Grand Canyon between Artist Point and Inspiration Point, a little weary and tired from an unexpected climb in the trail, when I broke out in a clearing, stopped in the middle of a struggle that should not have been a struggle, and I cried, "Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me." A deep sigh within escaped with that prayer. And just like that, my spirit shifted from that moment forward. The next day, I awakened with Chicago's Saturday in the Park playing in my head. And on that day, I witnessed the stunning aquamarine blue of Grand Prismatic Spring. I sat before Fairy Falls in awe for over an hour. And I had not one, but 2 wild wolf encounters on the same day. At the end of that day, at midnight, I drove out to Black Sand Basin. It was pitch black and not a two-legged soul in sight. And I walked out on the boardwalk with all this hissing and bubbling of steam and water surrounding me. And I stared up into the night sky, into the Milky Way, totally mesmerized. Earlier that day, after witnessing the spectacle of Grand Prismatic Spring, standing there on that overlook, with tourists rushing the rail for a quick pic before they bound on down the trail to the next whatever, I paused to record the moment, and I wrote, "This is your gear. Godspeed, the speed of God. No clamoring, no grasping, no rushing, no selfies before the artistry of our Creator, no helicopters throbbing above the wild. Both feet must be upon holy ground. This is where you see God face to face. Take off your shoes and land upon your face." I started following God's Son, Jesus, about the time I first visited Yellowstone. And except for a few early years where I knew little to nothing about the cost of following Jesus, and a few more years swallowed up in naivete, imagining everyone followed Jesus with the same fervency as I imagined I did, I'm still learning what he really means when he says, "Come, follow me." The 3-day effect exposes and illumines. It is a hard thing to get out of my own head and step into God's heart. Perhaps you find it so as well. To emerge out of a tiny cave to find yourself lost in his silence, his solitude, his be still and know vastness from where he beckons. When I heed his call, these are the days that I thrive. But dying to self is a hard process. Staying dead is a hard process. And when the third day comes, you don't will yourself back to life. Only the resurrection can do that. Well, thanks for coming to the table. Redemption's Table is written and produced by me, your host, Robert Barge. Today's song, Waiting for Lightning, was written by Brady Parks of the amazing folk group, The National Parks. Their song is shared with you today, with their permission, through MusicBed. Until next time, listen for the call of Jesus beckoning you to step into the three-day effect and be prepared to be amazed where He takes you. Until then.
In the storm, my arms are stretched. I'm standing here, please don't forget.
I'm waiting for lightning.
My heart's a key tied to a string. Up on a kite, what will it bring?
I'm waiting.